Good morning, everyone. It is so good to see you here this morning. It is so good to be in this house again this morning. And thank you, Kevin and Michael, for the singing. It was done so well. Beautiful songs just that fit the message so perfectly this morning. And I am just so happy. It's just so good to be back. And you know what? I really don't like doing video message, so I am so happy I only got to do one of those. But I am so thankful for Kevin and I think Jimmy and whoever else was involved and always going here week for week, or week after week, and preparing that. I know that all took a lot of work, and I know a lot of work went into it, and we enjoyed the messages immensely. And I'm so glad that we were still being able to be fed the word. So thank you so much for that as well. I want to just ask for prayer this morning as well. As many of you guys already know, where my dad is at, my dad has got cancer. He has glioblastoma. It's a cancer of the brain. And he's been at home now for the last about a month or 3 weeks to a month now. But tomorrow he's going to be starting his chemotherapy and his radiation. Tomorrow at 9:15 is when the first session will begin. So I would ask you, if you have time tomorrow, to keep him in your prayers. He has been very faithful in serving the church. And he has said many times now that if God has more for him to do, then God will heal him, and then he wants to continue to work. But he also says that if this is the end, then he wants to do God's will. So he wants to surrender to God's will. So he's finding that surrender very hard. So he's a man that loves people. So if you could, keep him in your prayers. This is way too early to be feeling this way. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, please turn to Acts chapter 10. We're going to be spending the majority of the time there this morning. We have been going through the life of Peter, and Peter is a very interesting character. He's one of my favorites, if not my favorite character in the Bible. I love Peter's passion. I love his zeal for the Lord. And he's just not a guy that will sit still. When he wants to do something, or when he finds out about knowledge, or when he finds out something that he has to do or that God wants him to do, it's all in. He just goes at it. And sometimes he doesn't think things through very good. But he's a man full of zeal. He wants to serve God. And that's just one of the reasons why I love Peter. Peter seems to be one of those guys that needs to hear things in threes. You know, I'm kind of that same guy. You know, I'll hear something and then my wife says, "You weren't even listening to me," but I was just not processing. But I do need to hear things more than once sometimes for things to sit in or to settle in. So I can really relate to Peter here. Before we get started in the message, I have a question for you. I want some audience participation this morning. I want you to raise your hand. I'm going to read out a couple different, not yet, George, not yet, okay? I want you to raise your hand if you have ever said this. I'm going to say this a couple different ways, and if you have said this phrase, any one of these four ways or all of these four ways, I want you to raise your hand, okay? So for instance, the first one is, guess who called me today? How many people have you said, guess who called me today? Okay. All right. Okay. How about, guess who stopped by the house today? Or guess who stopped by work today? Okay. All right. Very good. Guess who I ran into today? Okay. All right. Very good. And guess who I talked to today? Guess who I talked to today? So, you know what? I was so hoping I would get this response. Today, in Acts chapter 10, this is probably one of the most, powerful chapters. I mean, there's so many chapters you could choose that are powerful and have so much meaning, and where you see God at work. And this is one of those chapters where you see God is orchestrating something. He is timing something. He is bringing something together. And I want you guys to remember what you raised your hand for today, okay? All these questions that I asked, I want you to remember. It's going to tie together in the end. But as we read, I want you guys to keep an open mind and remember the questions that I asked you this morning. So Acts chapter 10, Before we even read the message or read the verses here today, I want to just pray as well. So let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, it is so good to be in your house again this morning. It seems like it's been so long. And Lord, I know that we've been hearing the word online and reading and all that. It's all good. But there's just something about being together with fellow believers, with with fellow brothers and sisters in this morning, Lord, just to see the joy, to see them again, and just to fellowship together, to sing songs together with you. It is so good. And Lord, I ask that you will be here in the midst this morning as we go through Acts chapter 10, one of the most powerful chapters that I've read recently again, just to see how you are at work. I pray, Lord God, that you will be at work in this congregation as well. Open our hearts and our eyes and our ears this morning to what it is that you have to say for us to us this morning. And Lord, I want to pray against anything evil or anything that will cause a distraction here this morning. I pray that our focus may be on you this morning, that all our thoughts and that our heart may be open and ready to receive your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So we're starting off in Acts chapter 10. We're going to read the first seven verses here. We are being introduced to Cornelius here. He's a Roman centurion. I'll read this first, and I'm going to expand on this just a little bit. So Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 7 says this. In Caesarea, there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius, who was a captain of the Italian regiment. He was a devout man of God who feared God, the God of Israel, and as did his entire household. He gave generously to charity and was a man who regularly prayed to God. One afternoon, about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming toward him. Cornelius, the angel said. Cornelius stared at him in terror. What is it, sir? He asked. He asked the angel, and the angel replied, your prayers and gifts to the poor have not gone unnoticed by God. Now send some men down to Joppa. Find a man named Simon Peter. He is staying with Simon, a leather worker who lives near the shore. Ask him to come and visit you. As soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier, one of his personal attendants. He told them what had happened and sent them off to Joppa. So again, we're being introduced to Cornelius. He's a Roman soldier described here. That's what he is described as. Now, Cornelius would have been obviously a soldier of Rome, but he would have been stationed there. And the reason why he was stationed there is if there was outbreaks or any type of unruliness or any type of hostility, he was there to keep peace, to keep the peace here. That's what he was told to do, and that was his job. But what is amazing here, what we read here, is that he was among the Jews. Now, Roman soldiers, he was a Gentile, and he was among the Jews, but we see that how these people of that culture somehow must have penetrated his heart and or somehow converted this man, because it says here that Cornelius was a man of God. He prayed regularly, and he gave to the needy, and he gave to the poor, and he was always willing to help, to lend a helping hand. Not only was Cornelius a man of God, but he also, his actions, his faith that he wore obviously on his sleeve, he was putting into practice. This was well known. It said that he was well respected by the Jewish people. A Roman soldier and the Jews were being oppressed by the Romans? How would this fit? His life really must have demonstrated the life of God in him for him to be able to gain such trust and this reputation as a follower of God, because he is described as a devout man who feared God, the God of Israel. So we see a Roman soldier who are known and they are trained to be ruthless people. They can be. They are taught to torture. This man is a man who is living for God. So that's a little part of Cornelius here. But it also says here that he was a man, one man, that was devout and followed God, but also says that his entire household was also, they also served God. So he was a man that was not just, wasn't keeping the faith to himself, but he was sharing in his family and in among the community. Ephesians 2 to 8 Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 9 says this. And we also want to understand here that, obviously Cornelius was a man who was searching for something. As he was praying, he has this encounter with God, and the angel is telling him, go to this town and search out this man Simon. He's living with a man named Simon, a leather worker who is near the shore. So he's giving some very specific instructions as to where to find this man. So we see here that there is something more that Cornelius has a need of. Yes, he's living for God, but there's something missing. And here we realize, Cornelius does not know this yet, but it is not just the works that are going to save him. He needs more than that. He needs to hear the gospel message. He needs to hear the saving power of Christ. And Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says this, and this is the clear testimony as to that our works are not enough to save us. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says this, "For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith, and it is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God and not by works, so that no one can boast." Acts 11, 14 says that Peter, and this goes on later on. I mean, right here it doesn't say it here, but later on when we read the account that Peter gives to his brothers, when after this all conversion has taken place, he's giving an account to his fellow brothers, his fellow Jews, and there he says, in Acts 11, 14, and Peter is talking and he says this, that he will bring a message through which you and your household will be saved. Cornelius didn't know it yet, but he wasn't saved. But the message that he is asking for, or this Simon Peter that he is asking for, the message that he is to bring, will be the message that will save him. So that's kind of an introduction to Cornelius. Now we want to introduce our next character here. We want to start in verse 9, and we are going to be talking about Peter here. So keep in mind, We were introduced by Cornelius as a man who was seen praying. And then he had an interaction with an angel. Now, Peter here, starting in verse 9, says this. The next day, keep in mind also here, that Cornelius has now already sent out his messengers to seek for Peter. So they're on the road, they're on the way. And it says this here, starting in verse 9. The next day, as Cornelius' messengers were nearing the city, Peter went up to a flat roof to pray. It was about noon, and he was hungry. But while lunch was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the sky open and something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners. The sheet were all sorts of animals, reptiles and birds. The voice said to him, "Get up, kill and eat them." "Never, Lord," Peter declared. "I have never in all my life eaten anything forbidden by Jewish law." The voice spoke again. "If God says something is acceptable, don't say it isn't." The same vision was repeated three times. Then the sheet was pulled up again into heaven. Verse 17. Peter was very confused. What did this vision mean? Just then the men sent by Cornelius found the house and stood outside the gate. They asked if this was the place where Simon Peter was staying. Meanwhile, as Peter was puzzling over the vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, "Three men have come looking for you. Go down and go with them without hesitation. All is well, for I have sent them." So Peter went down and said, I am the man you are looking for. Why have you come?" They said, "We were sent by Cornelius, a Roman officer. He is a devout man who fears God, who fears the God of Israel, and is well respected by all Jews. A holy angel instructed him to send for you so that you can go into the house and give him a message." So Peter invited the men in as guests for the night. You see how God is orchestrating this? Peter was also found praying, and as Peter is praying there, this sheet comes down from heaven, and all these different types of animals that were unclean, God is saying to him, "Kill and eat." And Peter is saying, "I have never eaten anything unclean." And this happens three more times, and this is all while Peter is praying. Do we see how God is starting to prepare Peter for this interaction with Cornelius' men? See, the Jews despised the Gentiles. They wanted nothing to do with them. They would not associate with them. They would not go into a house with them. They would not eat with them. They wanted absolutely nothing to do with them. And I don't know if Peter understood that exactly at this time, but we see that God is at work here. In one of the commentators that I was reading when I was preparing for this message, one of the illustrations he gave about how when the sheet was lifted down from all four corners was also to mean that to take the gospel to the four corners of the earth, That's what Peter was instructed to do. We are instructed to do that as well. So we see Peter is praying. He's puzzled by what's going on here. And these men show up at the door. And the Spirit, and it says, and I love the way God is orchestrating this. Peter's still unsure of what is happening. God is telling him, don't hesitate, go, for I have sent them. And to Peter's surprise, or I'm not sure how Peter, I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall just to see how Peter's, what Peter's response would have been when he comes to the gate there and he sees these men. And he, as he says there, in starting in verse 24 here, I'm actually going to read back up a bit on verse 23. Now, they've met at the door, at the gate there. So now here in verse 23, it says Peter invited the men in as guests, invited them in as guests. So the walls are starting to break down. Peter is not sure of what's happening, but there's something divine happening here. Because what he has heard from that vision that he just had, or that what God has told him, and now this message from Cornelius' men, something big is happening here. He doesn't know what it is. So Peter invites these men in, which would have been against the Jewish law. And I wonder, like, too, as these men, I'm sure there was lots of conversation about what was all happening there. But to see how God was at work intermingling here and preparing, opening, and straightening the paths for this interaction to take place. God was at work. And this is a result of one man praying, of one man's actions. That was the cause of this. God saw this. God saw this one man. When we look here today, you guys all look so great this morning. But God is looking down, and God will only see your heart. That is what God sees. And I wonder what God saw when he saw Cornelius. He saw his heart. He saw that he needed salvation. But I also can't help but think, when God looked down and he saw Peter's heart, what did he see? That Peter's heart was not ready. It was not prepared. So God had work to do. That leads me to a question I have for all of us here today. Remember how I asked you guys if you guys have had any interaction with people, or have you ever talked to anyone? Guess who called me today? Remember all those questions that I asked you guys? How many times have we had somebody ask, or that we've had interactions with, and we're wondering, or like, how do I say this now? When we've had those conversations with somebody who, like when you said, guess who called me today, what was our initial response to that? Oh, it's you. Maybe it was somebody who is an encourager to us. Maybe it's somebody who needed to hear something good from you, who needed to be encouraged by you. What I want to say to us today here is that God is at work. He is busy arranging these meetings. And he is preparing us for those interactions. And my question to you is, how much time do we spend in prayer to allow God us to prep us? To prepare us for those meetings. All this is going on in Peter's mind. And I'm not sure how clear it is at this point, but it's going to get much clearer. In verse 23, where we just said where Peter invited these men in for the night, it goes on. And it says here, and starting in verse 24, we're going to continue reading here, and it says this. They arrived. It says, the very next day he went with them, accompanied by some brothers. Now, later on in chapter 11, we're going to find out that Peter brought along some fellow Jewish brothers. Now, these were going to be witnesses, but there were six Jewish brothers that went along with Peter to go visit Cornelius. So with that being said, we have the three men from Cornelius and the six brothers that Peter is taking along, and Peter, now they're heading off. It says here in verse 24, they arrived in Caesarea the following day. Cornelius was waiting for him, and he called together his relatives and close friends to meet Peter. As Peter entered his home, Cornelius fell to the floor before him to worship. But Peter pulled him up and said, stand up, I am human, I'm a human being just like you. Cornelius got up, and they talked together and went inside where the others were assembled. Peter told him, you know it is against the Jewish law for me to come into a Gentile home like this. But God has shown me that I should never think of anyone impure. When we ran into those people, when we talked to that person that we hadn't talked to in a while, what thoughts came through our mind? I've had to struggle with this. There are some people that really test my patience. That when you are with them, when you've had 5 minutes, it feels like 5 hours. And that's hard. But I find myself that when I have those opportunities to meet with people that I have a hard time or that I have a hard time spending a lot of time with, if I don't pray about this, it's sometimes almost impossible. We have to allow God to work in our hearts to prepare us, to allow us to see them the way God sees them. You know, we think of God the Father. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I picture God as God. He's untouchable. You know, he's so far up there. He's so far out of touch. And he sees us. We're his servants. We're his people. We're his children. But then the other side of me thinks, when especially looking at this picture here of what God is orchestrating here, that God sees Cornelius as his son and as the other family members as his daughters. Those are God's children. God wants to spend time with them. God wants them to be saved. God wants them to be with him. God wants them to know how much he loves them. That is the message that we are to carry forward in our life to other people as well. How are we living out that life? How are we passing on the grace and love that God has shown us to the people that we encounter? Those odd interruptions in our schedule. Verse 29. I'm going to go back to verse 28. And this is where Peter says, "You know it is against the Jewish laws for me to come into a Gentile home like this, but God has shown me that I should never think of anyone as impure. So I came as soon as I was sent. Now tell me why you sent me, why you sent for me." Cornelius replied. Now listen to this. This is now a little bit more of a description here of what Cornelius is saying. It says, 4 days ago, I was praying in my house at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Suddenly, a man in dazzling clothes was standing in front of me. He told me, "Cornelius, your prayers have been heard and your gifts to the poor have been noticed by God. Now send some men to Joppa and summon Peter. He is staying in the home of Simon, a leather worker who lives near the shore. So I sent for you at once and it was good for you to come. Now here we are waiting before God to hear the message the Lord has given to you." Now, if Peter has any doubt, by this time it's got to be lifted. Because as descriptive as Cornelius was describing this interaction with this angel and the instructions, how can this be by coincidence? This was God orchestrated, God ordained. Listen to Peter's reply in verse 34. Then Peter replied, "I see very clearly that God does not show partiality. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. I am sure you have heard about the good news for the people of Israel. And there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all." I want to just stop there for a little bit. When you hear the word peace, I can only imagine what it must have felt like for Cornelius to hear these words when Peter says, "I have heard about the good news and the peace that there is between God and man." This is the peace that Cornelius and his family and friends are about to experience. Peter goes on to share the gospel message here of what happened. "You know what happened all through Judea, beginning in Galilee after John the Baptist began preaching. And no doubt you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we, apostles, are witnesses of all he did throughout Israel and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by crucifying him, but God raised him to life 3 days later. Then God allowed him to appear, not to the general public, but to us, whom God has chosen beforehand to be his witnesses. We are those who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach everywhere and to testify that Jesus is ordained by God to be a judge of all, the living and the dead. He is the one all the prophets testified about, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name." This is now the gospel message. Now Cornelius has heard the message that he has been waiting for. And verse 44 sums this up so nicely. It says, even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter, the witnesses that Peter took with him, were amazed at the gift of the Holy Spirit that had been poured out upon the Gentiles too. And there could be no doubt about it, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter asked, can anyone object to being baptized now that they have received the Holy Spirit just as we did? So he gave orders for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And afterward, Cornelius asked him to stay with them for several days. Now the message was complete. Now Cornelius got to hear the salvation message through the lifeblood of Jesus Christ. I want to summarize this just a little bit. We see again how from the very beginning, a man faithful in prayer. Cornelius was faithful in praying. He didn't understand the full message yet, but God was at work. God sent people, sent Cornelius' followers or Cornelius' servants to Peter. And God still today is sending people into our lives. God is still sending people to New Life Christian Fellowship. God is still sending people into our everyday, our life. Whatever we are doing, we will always have encounters. God is always busy sending someone. How prepared? How are we preparing to meet those needs of those people when we have those interactions with them? God showed Peter his heart. And God worked in him and cleansed his heart and got him to see that God's love is for all people, Jew and Gentile alike. My question for you this morning is there someone in our life that we walk with, that we know, that we have already written off, that we have decided is not worthy of our time, is not worthy of redemption, is not worthy of hearing the message? That can be a hard thing to take in. Who do we have a hard time being with? Because they're probably the ones who need the message the most. They're probably the one who need our love the most. And if our heart is cold towards someone who is struggling, who has walked away from the faith, then what is the condition of our heart? God looks down on us, and he sees only our heart. What is your heart like today? Have you strayed? Have you wandered from God? Have you walked away? There's still good news. You can still repent of that. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says this, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Maybe you are here today, you have never given your life to Christ. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're thinking, what I have done, what I have taken part in, what I have done in my life, I'm just too far gone. There's a quote that is written by a guy named, he goes by Christian Rider Corey. He's a motorcycle enthusiast, he loves to ride, and he wrote this. This is for the people who think that they are too far gone. It says this. You are not too dirty for God to cleanse. You are not too broken for God to fix. You are not too far for God to reach. And you are not too guilty for God to forgive. And you are not too worthless for God to love. Romans 10:9-13 says this. If you are someone who has never given your life to Christ, or if you have someone who has strayed, and it says here in Romans 10:9-13, for if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that he has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. As the scripture tells us, anyone who believes in him will not be disappointed. Jew and Gentile are the same in respect. They all have the same Lord who generously gives the riches to all who ask him. For anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Isaiah 54:10 also says this. God went through a lot of work so that one... Sorry, that's not the message I want to read or the scripture verse. I want us just to reflect a bit again on exactly what God all orchestrated here. What he did to make one righteous man, one man was seeking. And God took the time to accommodate that one man. That is the effort that he puts into this. That is how much he desires for all of us to hear the gospel message, for all of us to be saved. Isaiah 54:10 says this, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion over you. Why have you come to church this morning? Why are you here? Ask yourself that. Why are you here this morning? Romans 10:14 through 15 says this. But how can they call on him to be saved unless they... Sorry, I want to just back up here a little bit. As I said a few times already, we are called to take the gospel message and we are to carry it forward. Just as God ordained Peter to carry, he commanded him to take the message further. We are also commanded to take that message further, to give this message to the unloved, to whomever crosses our path. Now listen to what Romans 10:14 through 15 says here. This is now talking about us. But how can they call on, this is also talking about someone who has not heard the message yet and also are called to give, to bring the message. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells him? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? This is what the scriptures mean when they say, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. My prayer for us all here today, and as we leave here today, and as we go into our week, and as we go about our regular business, keep in mind, we are carrying the greatest message of all time with us. The joy of the Lord, the saving grace of Jesus Christ. That is a message that we carry with us. Let's not be shy in sharing. Let's be open to our surroundings and be aware of our surroundings. And that when we see someone that we know is struggling, that we can see, let's be bold and let's proclaim our faith. And let's not let our fear dictate our actions, but let's let our allegiance to Christ dictate our actions. Let's be the hands and feet of Christ that we are called to be. We are commanded to do so. Let's pray.